You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Friday, August 5th. I'm your host, Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, part of the SB Nation family of podcasts, and thought we would talk today about week two of Giants training camp. Week will conclude on Friday night as the Giants hold their fan fest for the second time in MetLife Stadium. The inaugural fan fest was last year. Fans who have acquired tickets will be allowed into MetLife Stadium free to watch the Giants practice on Friday evening. That event was a lot of fun a year ago and should be fun again this time around. Yours truly will be in attendance to give you my takeaways, my impressions, any news, anything that happens on Friday as the Giants continue to get ready for the 2022 season. Big Blue View contributor Michael Parra is also expected to be in attendance, and he'll give you the fan perspective from the MetLife Stadium seats. So hopefully you guys look forward to both of those. All right, Giants fans, thought that with really the second full week of Giants training camp concluding here with the Fan Fest, I thought it would be a good time to look at some of the top performers of the week, some of the guys who might be struggling. So let's start with some guys who had good weeks. Quarterback Daniel Jones, after some difficult sort of ragged practices, the first three or four practices of training camp, really, really solid on Tuesday and Wednesday. Jones with a lot of completions, couple of interceptions that he threw on Tuesday. You know, Coach Brian Daboll said that on one of those, the receiver fell down, said on the other one, cornerback Adoree Jackson, who happens to be a good, experienced veteran cornerback, simply made a nice play, which by itself is a good sign for the Giants, since, of course, the Giants are depending on Jackson to make those kinds of plays this year as their number one cornerback. So really good stuff from Jones on Tuesday and Wednesday. Threw the ball with authority, completed a lot of passes. On Wednesday, there were no turnovers. There weren't even any balls that really were in danger of being intercepted. So good work from Jones after a few ragged days to begin training camp. And that's what you want to see as the Giants develop this new offense under head coach Brian Daboll and offensive coordinator Mike Kafka. It is a complicated offense. It's a new language for Jones. The pass routes have a lot of options to them. They require a lot of timing. They require a lot of communication with the Giants receivers. And you want to see those things develop. And this week so far has been a positive sign that progress is being made. Brian Daboll said earlier in the week that he's been happy with Jones' decision-making, that he's been happy with the progress that he's making. So that's a good sign for your 2022 Giants. I mean, Daniel Jones' future is not going to be determined in training camp. Whether he's the long-term answer beyond 2022 is something that we're going to have to wait to find out until we see how this offense performs and how Jones performs in the regular season and whether or not he looks like a quarterback going forward that the Giants can win with. But good sign that some positive things seem to be developing with the offense over the last few days. One of the really good things that has developed is that Kenny Golladay on Wednesday finally looked like the big play contested catch wide receiver that the Giants paid $72 million over 4 years to acquire a year ago. Golladay, of course, had a really, really rough first season with the Giants. No touchdowns, I think only 37 catches. Golladay told media this week that he spent most of his offseason in New Jersey training at the Giants facility and working whenever possible with Jones, throwing as often as they could get together during the week. And so far in camp, you know, Golladay's had a couple of drops here and there, a couple of hiccups, but so far in camp, that work appears to be paying off. And on Wednesday, you know, Golladay was spectacular. Great 11-on-11 contested catch over Adoree Jackson for a long gain. In one-on-ones, Golladay had another contested catch over Jackson for a long touchdown. Had a lot of other catches in both one-on-ones and 11-on-11. So good sign for Kenny Golladay. I would say that in a year plus with the Giants, that's the absolute best that we've seen Kenny Golladay look. And something I wanted to mention quickly is simply the fact that Golladay has worked every day. Kadarius Toney has worked every day. Saquon Barkley has worked every day. After an injury scare right before camp with a quad issue that landed him on the PUP list for a couple of days, rookie tight end Daniel Bellinger has worked every single day. Having all of these players who he will throw to all season long on the field practicing every day is something that Jones didn't have last year. I don't think he had it the year before either. So this is a good sign for the Giants. The offensive line has been the same every single day with the exception of center John Feliciano missing a few practices with heat hydration-related issues. But Feliciano is back to practice, and that good health has to be a good sign for the Giants thus far. So cross your fingers and hope that that continues. Now, a couple of guys on the defensive side of the ball who are really, really standing out. Slot cornerback Darnay Holmes had interceptions, I think, the first 3 days of practice, had a forced fumble on the fourth day. Holmes has looked really, really solid. The Giants also drafted Cordell Flott in the third round as a potential competitor for Holmes in the slot. But so far, Darnay Holmes looks like the guy in that position. Two other guys who have really been dominant through the early practice, especially this week when the pads came on, are interior defensive linemen Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence. And it's really, really interesting with those two. I've said a number of times that Dexter Lawrence has been good in his first 3 seasons with the Giants, but he hasn't been great. He hasn't really been a guy who has justified the 17th overall pick in the NFL draft, which is what the Giants used on him when they drafted him a few years back. Lawrence is a guy working under the direction this year of longtime NFL defensive line coach Andre Patterson, a guy who is looked at as one of the best in the business, a guy who teaches a little bit differently than most defensive line coaches. We were really looking forward to seeing if Lawrence could take a step forward under the tutelage of Patterson, whether Dexter would really take to Patterson's teachings. And so far, to be honest with you, both Lawrence and Leonard Williams have been an absolute handful for the interior of the Giants' offensive line to deal with. So very, very good sign for those two players as they both appear to be headed toward good seasons. I mean, if the way that they're playing right now is an indication of how they'll play once the regular season starts, both players should be headed toward very, very good 2022 seasons. One guy who has been struggling, to be honest, is seventh overall pick Evan Neal, right tackle, who's had some really difficult, really bad reps in one-on-one drills and in pass protection drills during 11-on-11 team periods. Our own Nick Filato took a look at some of those issues that Neil has been having so far in camp. And listen, you never want to see the guy get beat. You never want to see the guy struggle. But I wouldn't go, you know, jumping off the bridge at this point and calling Neil a bust. I mean, we are still, at this point, 7 practices into training camp. He's moving back to the right side after playing left tackle a year ago. He's adjusting to the speed of the NFL. Everybody knew that, you know, he's a tremendous athlete. He's got all kinds of physical skills. He's got run blocking ability. He played at a high level at Alabama, the highest level you can play at in college football. But everybody knew that Evan Neal was not a perfect prospect, that maybe there were some balance issues, that there were a few technique things that he needed to clean up. And what's happening right now, I believe, is that you are seeing NFL caliber pass rushers like Kayvon Thibodeau take advantage of some of the things that Evan Neal needs to clean up. It's not going to be perfect for Evan Neal as a rookie. It's generally not perfect for any rookies, you know, coming into the league, playing at a tackle spot, you know, having to protect the quarterback against some of the outstanding pass rushers in the NFL. But I'm not panicked. I'm not alarmed by what we've seen from Evan Neal so far. What I am is curious about watching his development as we go through camp, as we go through the preseason, as we get into the early parts of the season. I'm curious to watch his learning curve and see how much better he gets from where he is right now in the first week in August, because him losing some reps in the first week in August isn't that big a deal. Him losing reps, you know, in the middle of the season and getting Daniel Jones killed and, you know, for getting Giants drives blown up and things like that, that's a big deal. That's what you don't want to see. Let him make his mistakes and learn now and grow from them and get better throughout the course of his rookie season. That's what we hope for Daniel Jones. Another issue with the Giants that has cropped up is the backup center position. John Feliciano, as I said earlier, missed a few days of practice, and really what that highlighted was the fact that the Giants don't have a true backup center on the roster. They've tried Jameel Douglas, Ben Bredesen, Max Garcia. They've moved Shane Lemieux to center, and that may be their best option if Feliciano is injured at some point or if he simply doesn't do the job. Perhaps, and you know, what I have wondered is if using Lemieux at center a little bit over the past few days might be an indication that down the line, Lemieux could maybe move to center with third-round draft pick Joshua Ezeudu moving in at left guard. Don't know if that's the long-term plan. Brian Daboll has said he hasn't thought that far ahead. I think he's trying to just get through practices and get good snaps so they can run an offense at this point. But that is something that bears watching. All right, Giants fans, what I want to do right now, have a couple of exclusive interviews that I was able to get during my time in East Rutherford over the past few days. One with edge defender O'Shane Zimenez, and one with tight end / fullback Jeremiah Hall, an impressive undrafted free agent. What I'd like to do right now is play both of those for you after we take a quick break here for a word from our sponsors at SB Nation.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, Giants fans, we're back here on the Valentine's Views podcast. I promised you interviews with the undrafted free agent Jeremiah Hall and veteran edge rusher O'Shane Zimenez. Let's get first to the interview I did with Jeremiah Hall.
You know, how's camp going for you so far?
Yeah, I think camp's going good for me. I've learned a lot. It's nice to be around guys and just different guys all around and, you know, the NFL in general, it's all new to me. So I've had fun, still learning, still growing, taking everything one day at a time.
But what's not new to you is playing some fullback and playing some tight end.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, you know, opportunity-wise, with your skill set, you feel like you've landed in a good place with a good opportunity?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm blessed to be here, first of all. And in terms of my position, I feel like I'm in a great spot. You know, I'm in a tight end room. I wanted to be in a tight end room when I came and be able to have the opportunity to play tight end, to play receiver, to play in the backfield. And, you know, I'm just taking my role one step at a time. You know, right now they have me mainly in the fullback spot, but I also know the tight end stuff, I know the receiver stuff. So I'm ready and willing to do anything and be anywhere they put me.
So are you in both rooms right now?
No, I'm just in the tight end room. But when you're in the tight end room, you pretty much learn every position. So
that's the fullback. Because there is no quote-unquote true fullback. You're about as close to a true fullback as there is on this roster, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have some pretty good guys in the room, and we're all pretty versatile, but in terms of the label fullback, I think I'm the only one that has the previous label. But, yeah.
Does – I mean, you can't sit here and figure out, oh, how do I make the 53?
Yeah.
What do the numbers look like? But do you feel like that versatility, you know, 2 years at Oklahoma as a true fullback, 2 years as a tight end, that give you an advantage in terms of trying to make this roster? Or does it give you an added opportunity? Let's put it that way.
You know, in terms of – playing multiple positions, I think I have an advantage of just understanding concepts a little bit easier than some guys. You know, some guys may focus on just tight end, some guys may focus on just receiver or just running back, whereas I'm more of a conceptual guy. So I'm hoping that that gives me some type of advantage going forward, and I think it has thus far. But in terms of making the 53, you know, as a fullback, my main thing is special teams and doing anything I can to help the team. So that's what I'm working on right now.
You talk about concepts, but what about, you know, the techniques of blocking from the different places that, you know, that you're being asked to block from? The fact that you've done some of that, you know, previously give you a leg up as well?
Yeah, I've blocked from in space as a slot. I've blocked from in line as a Y, and I've blocked from the backfield. So I have experience in all three areas. You know, I know and I think I have a good feeling for angles. I think that's where I specialize at because, you know, I'm 240. Some guys are bigger than me. Some guys are my size. Some guys are smaller than me. Mm-hmm. So with each guy that you face, you have to take different angles and approach each man differently. And I think that is where I do have an advantage.
Because you've studied those angles and because you've blocked from those angles.
Just before. Because I've had more experience in the past with, you know, that type of stuff.
Did I see you get a couple of one reps today?
Yeah, I'm all in the mix, man. I'm with the ones, the twos, the threes. You know, at this point in camp, it doesn't really matter. I'm just out there trying to do my job.
Does it, does it make you feel good? Does it make you feel like you must be doing something right if they're running you out there sometimes, you know, with the first group, with Daniel and that first offensive line and with Saquon?
Yeah. You know, it's pretty cool to look behind me and see Saquon Barkley. You know, that's a guy that I watched my freshman year of college, you know. And to
don't make him feel old. Yeah. Freshman year of high school.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way things are, you know. I joked with Graham Gano. I'm like, bro, like, I grew up in North Carolina. Like, I know exactly who you are. And so to come into the NFL and see great athletes that you've seen on TV is always fun. So being with the ones and going in there with those guys, it gives you a surreal feeling, but at the end of the day, I have to do my job.
Yeah, Graham Gano tell you that he used to be a track star.
Yeah, Graham's got a lot of jokes.
Yeah, go look him up, though, because he actually could run.
Oh, wow, okay.
Go look him up. He actually, I don't remember what it was, but he actually ran on a really good high school track team.
Yeah.
So there was a time when he could run a little bit.
Hard to believe nowadays.
I don't want to test it because the only time we'd get to see him run these days is if he was chasing a kickoff.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that.
Let's not put him in that position.
Let's not put him in. You mentioned Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's so explosive in terms of, you know, make guys miss and kind of look for his own hole. Is it kind of interesting blocking for him sometimes, just in terms of knowing where he's going to go?
Yeah, you know, I'm learning Saquon as time goes on, and his abilities are special. You know, the way he hits a hole, the way he breaks through the second level and gets upfield is special, and that's one thing that makes him great. So whenever I'm out there blocking for him, in the back of my head, I know I got to hit it fast because I know he will too.
Yeah. What about you know, receiving skills? You said you're working mostly in the tight end room, and I know you can catch the ball. You feel good about what you can contribute to the pass game as well.
Yeah, I know what I'm capable of, and with every opportunity I get out there on the field, I want to show the coaches that, hey, you know, just because they label me as a fullback doesn't mean I don't have good hands. And so I think I've gotten a point across that they know I have good hands and they know I have the ability, but when you're in the NFL, the entire thing is a process, so I'm just taking it day by day.
Did you do a lot of special teams at Oklahoma?
I did a little bit. You know, I was always on punt, always on kickoff return and that type of deal. I played all four throughout my time there, and now it's even more of a focus. And so thank God I have experience in that area because it definitely carries over to this level. So I'm going hard whenever I'm on the field or my spot.
You like this offense just in terms of the different things that you guys are doing?
Yeah, I'm blessed to be a part of this offense, man. Ever since high school, you know, I was part of the creative offense. And in college with Lincoln Riley, he was the offensive guru. And now Kafka and, you know, the rest of the coaches, my bad, I had a brain fart. And the rest of the coaches, you know, they put up a pretty good scheme. And it's a lot, but it's pretty fun to play in.
Yeah, it's. I have a feeling that we've only seen the tip of the iceberg of it out here so far. Would I be right?
Well, I'm a rookie, so I'm still learning myself.
You're still learning. Hey, I appreciate.
All right, Giants fans. Next up is an interview that I did with edge rusher O'Shane Zimenez, coming off a really, really disappointing couple of seasons, injury in 2020 that cost him most of the season, and a disappointing 2021 season where he was buried on the bench after a mistake made against Kansas City and only played one defensive snap. Over the second half of the season, Zimenez trying to bounce back from that and keep a spot on the 53-man roster. So here is what O'Shane Zimenez had to say about his 2022 season.
Camp seems to be going pretty well for you so far. How you feel about the first few days?
Just first few days, you know. It's a marathon, not a sprint, so I'm not really saying I'm doing good or bad. Just trying to take it day by day. Get better every day.
Pads on today. How big is that for you guys? You know, front seven guys. How big is that to kind of show out a little bit?
It's real big. You know, that's where you kind of set the identity for the team. And, you know, you lay the foundation for how physical we're going to be. So it's very important to our growth and what we're going to be this year.
And how nice was it for you? You get the one-on-ones and pads for the first time. Mm-hmm. First two reps, you get out there against Evan, I think, and you win both reps. Mm-hmm. How important is that for you, you know, to put that out there right away?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, I'm just trying to show what I can do every time I step on the field, not take no play for granted or any time for granted, and just be the best me I could be every play.
The last 2 years haven't really gone the way you'd like them to go. Is there some extra importance on those reps for you, you know, for you this year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the past is the past, you know, but I'm just trying to maximize every day and every rep.
I mean, just, I know you said the past is the past, but how hard was that last year especially? You know, you play in the Kansas City game, and I think you had the offside penalty late in the game. And then basically you got kind of pushed aside. How hard was that to deal with?
It's pretty hard, but, you know, it's the NFL. You know, you got to wear your big boy pants every day. And most of all, I learned from it. You know, it was a very humbling experience, and I learned a lot about myself. And it put me in a good space for this year.
You said it put you in a good space. What did you learn?
It's not to take nothing for granted. Just you got to maximize every day, every chance you get, because you never know, like, when you could just be sitting or looking from the outside in.
You're not saying that you felt like you might have been taking some things for granted at that point?
No, I'm not saying that, but it's just the fact that, you know, just not playing. You know, I never thought I would be in that position. Like, just being honest, I didn't ever think I'd not have a jersey on Sunday. So feeling that, you know, humbled me, and, you know, and it just woke me up.
Did you do anything special this offseason to get ready?
Yeah, just put in a lot of work, man.
Anything you hadn't done previously?
Or? Yeah, I've been working with a bunch of guys, BT Jordan, Chuck Smith. You know, I've been lifting weights at Pinnacle. You know, Z's was there with me. Well, I was there with Z's. He invited me to come with him. So, you know, we've been putting in a lot of good work this offseason. You know, I always do, but I feel like it was a little bit extra this year.
I know he's bigger and stronger. You bigger and stronger than you've been in the past couple years, maybe?
Yeah, probably like a couple pounds bigger.
But you didn't turn into Adonis like Aziz did.
Huh? Aziz put on like a good 12, 13 pounds, you know? He looks way bigger.
I think I agree with Coach Wilkins. Yeah. It's like, if I looked like that, I'd never wear a shirt.
Right.
Really quickly, Coach Daboll talks about, you know, everybody having a clean slate. And we've talked to Kadarius about that. I mean, do you feel like this is a clean slate for you, a chance to start over and kind of reset, you know, after what was a rough year for you?
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the first things Coach Dave said to us as a team. Like, everybody has a clean slate, so that's something I definitely took to heart, and I believed him. And, you know, and I just try to come out here and be the best me.
You know, there was a time not that long, a couple years ago, where you looked at this roster and you're like, where are all the pass rushers, you know? And now you look at this edge group. You've got Kayvon, you've got Aziz. Quincy had a nice year last year. You know, Ellerson's coming back, you know, from an injury. I mean, do you feel like every day is important for you, you know, just to show that you deserve to stay here?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, I just go out there, be the best me. And also, you know, it's not about just me. You know, I got to bring those guys along, too. They're important to the success of this program. And, you know, they're young guys, and they bust their ass every day. And, you know, I know we're competing for jobs, but at the same time, those are my brothers, and I try to bring everybody along and try to motivate everybody and, you know, coach each other up, and we help each other out, and that's going to make us all better in the end.
That's right. You're actually kind of the old guy.
Yeah, I know, right? I blinked, and shit, I'm the oldest motherfucker in there. So. Shit's crazy.
You don't try to figure out, you know, roster spots, and you don't worry about all of that.
You know, that's how you, like I said, maximizing every day. That's what I learned last year. Mm-hmm. So when you look too far ahead and try to, that's when shit like goes fast and you blink and, you know, shit happening quick. So if you don't stay in the moment and maximize what you're getting every day, every rep, every play, that's where you fuck up in this league. You know, you got to just look, keep one foot in front of the other and just keep going every day. Don't look too far down the road.
All right, hey, appreciate the time.
And that's our show for you today, Giants fans. Hope you've enjoyed it. Particularly hope that that you enjoyed the interviews with Jeremiah Hall and O'Shane Zimenez. Hope to see some of you guys out at FanFest on Friday night. Those of you who will be in attendance, hope you enjoy the opportunity to get into MetLife Stadium and watch your Giants practice for free. Second time that the Giants have done a fan fest practice in MetLife Stadium. Should be a good time. I know that the Giants love the energy in the stadium for this workout. So if you're coming out to the stadium Friday night, bring the energy, bring the noise, and cheer on your Giants as they get ready for the 2022 NFL season. All right, Giants fans, please remember to subscribe to Big Blue View Radio wherever you listen to podcasts. Stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.